All right, we are back for another episode of Benchwarmers. Things have changed. We not only have a father on the pod now. Mr. Quinalo gave birth, well, was there for his wife giving birth to a beautiful baby boy. Mr. Lenny, can't wait to meet that guy. Can't wait to spoil him. My children of my own are in a far, far distant future. So until then, I will spoil your child. And then we have Mr. JB, the special team savant, Jackson Brown. We weren't
You
sure
had the
if
lead. You had to lead with that.
we absolutely wasn't sure if we were going to be able to get Quinn on. So JB graciously stepped in for the audible. Guys, I think this is going to be a pretty quick and tight show. We'll get the people on their way ready for Frisco. They're already probably down there, so they can listen to this in pregame before they head to Scruffy Duffy's or wherever their establishment of choice is. Quinn, let's start with your week, man. Last 7 days, how's it been for you?
Yeah, it's been crazy. Especially since probably Saturday morning. It was just like probably the longest 3 day stretch I've been through, including a fall camp, which sounds crazy. Well, first year fall camp, that was probably a longer 3 day stretch, maybe. We'll see. No, she had like early contractions Saturday. They got pretty bad all of Saturday night. Neither of us really got any sleep, and then Sunday afternoon around 4 we went in. She got admitted then and then gave birth to Lenny around, it was 3:19 a.m. And then we got to our room at like 6, slept from like, I don't know, 8 to 9:30, and then we had like the guests start strolling through. So the first probably real night's sleep, which was about 3.5 hours, was when was that? Monday night. So definitely a long few days, but we are at home now. Made the Utah. I didn't really think about it till we got to the hospital, and I've heard people talk about it before. That drive from the hospital to the house is probably the slowest I've ever driven my car on an interstate before.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Like, they talk about precious cargo, bro. I can't even wrap my head around having a human being you're responsible for in your
Yeah,
vehicle.
I turned into like super old man, like slow down, like whenever someone
Yeah.
would pass me to the left.
I mean, you're already a grouchy dad, like
Know.
before you had a kid, so it works out perfect.
Yeah, that's true. No, he's good though. Everyone's good. I went into the chat this morning and asked like Trev and Ross, because they were the original two dads. I said, what is it with moms? Kendra gets like 2 hours of sleep a night, and she wakes up in the morning. She went shopping this morning. She's currently cooking steaks and baking goods.
Yeah,
And
my dad, I asked my dad about that too. He said it's a real thing. Like, they just
like,
don't have
I'm
another,
getting like
they don't even have.
4 hours or 4.5 hours of sleep, and I feel good in the morning. But I wake up, and she like, her dad's staying with us right now just because he can. And he was, I woke up, and I went upstairs in the warehouse. He's like, oh, I think she went to like Walmart and Target. And I'm like,
She's just like running circles around
yeah,
you.
it's like 9 o'clock in the morning. I was like, okay. And like, I like ask her, I'm like, are you good? And she's like, yeah, this is probably the best I've felt since before I was pregnant. And I was like,
Wow.
all
Is
right. Like,
that like a scientific thing? Like, is there like a hormonal
well,
balance?
I think there is a little bit just because of like the breastfeeding part.
Sure,
Because
for sure.
he needs to eat like every 90 minutes, and like her body knows like he needs to eat every 90 minutes. So like she wakes up after an hour of sleep, no matter what, which is
That's crazy.
insane. But yeah.
Yeah, I asked my dad and he said like obviously when he was with my mom and had me and my brother, she was just like up and running circles around him, like
Yeah.
on the lowest amount of sleep of all time.
I know. It's insane. But
Yeah.
yeah, so currently got a superhero in my house. But
I mean, you were already like not a huge sleep guy anyway. So, I
yeah, I mean,
mean,
it's
it's not
not,
too
it's,
much of an adjustment.
no, it's not that bad. But like, she even like, I'll like, which he doesn't even cry that much. But when he does, like, I'll try my best. And like, I could get him to relax for like a few seconds. But then, like, as soon as she holds him, I think that's like more the science thing, JB, I think, because it's like they're so used to being in their mom's belly that like once they like get on their skin, I think they calm down a bunch, but
Sure.
that's insane. I get diaper duty though. That's sick.
Man,
Yeah, good.
more power to you, Quinn. I give you a
Yeah,
lot of
dude,
credit.
it is awesome. Like I was thinking about it, it's like we all knew each other when we were like 18, 19, 20, and I'm like, God, Quinn's just a kid, man, having a baby. I'm like, Quinn's 25, like a very normal age to have a baby.
Right.
Yeah,
So,
we are kind of old.
Getting
yeah,
up there, man.
I know. JB, how are you, man? It's been a while since I've talked to you personally, let alone like in this space.
Right. I'm doing well, man. I'm adjusting, readjusting for the, umpteenth time to adulthood.
Yeah.
Just moved back to Wisconsin after completing my master's degree and got a nice job here in my hometown of Eau Claire.
Sweet.
Doing that, doing some other media stuff on the side, but trying to fit in the Bison Report whenever I can and keep up to date and, keep analyzing the boys.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you're very good at what you do and what you went and got for your master's stuff. I was involved in one of your projects, so
I
been
appreciate
seeing
that,
some of the
man.
cool stuff that you're up to. So
Thank you.
what's I know this might be a little off topic, but I know you had talked about something in that space. Was it Arizona or Arizona State or something like that?
You mean in terms of one of the positions I was looking at? Yeah, there was a position to be a digital media coordinator at Arizona State University. The one thing, the little caveat was that it was with the Earth and Space program there. So, I got to the final round of interviews, but I think having someone with a little familiarity in that space probably beat me out. But yeah, that was
No,
something I was looking at.
that's not me. I thought you got the job. That's my bad.
It's all good, man.
The Ben Farmer special, baby. No, but like you mentioned that, I was like, oh, digital media coordinator at Arizona State. Like, that's the most Jackson Brown job I've ever heard in my life. And then you said it was like in the Earth and Planet Department. I'm like, all
It was
right.
pretty much just, applying to whatever and was pretty open to where my destination would be. So I had some really interesting interviews here the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
So
I can
thanks.
only imagine. Let's get into what I would probably call, and some people might disagree, I think this is the biggest game in program history. Obviously, playing the Jackrabbits of SDSU, who the Bison already lost to in the regular season. I'm going to keep it real tight. We'll do some breakdowns and then we'll do some score predictions. I'll give kind of what I think are some keys. I think one on the offensive side of the ball, we have to see a better performance through the air from Cam Miller. I think he does what he does, facilitating the game and running the ball, but I don't think you beat this Jackrabbit team completing one pass. And I think everybody else in that building knows that. So, not really breaking any news there, but that's one thing that's been on my mind as far as should be a point of emphasis that we need to look at. And then obviously Quinn and I, and Quinn, I'll let you talk about this a little bit because you play D line, but we always scouted SDSU for their movement across your face on the D line. And that disrupts the two biggest game plans run wise that the Bison have, which is the power run and zone scheme running. So how do the Bison respond? What kind of plan do you have to take on A game, to take on moving D tackles? If you have, like jet looks, if you have people coming off the edge, what is the response be going to be, and how quickly can they instill those responses? And then three, I think we have to see some explosive plays. The championship game is all about going out and who makes the plays when it matters most. And you see that with Darius Shepherd when we played JMU, his first touchdown of the season, my freshman year. You look like Stick taking over the Eastern Washington game the next year. And then, geez, that JMU game was such a blur. I don't even remember the third year. But James Hendricks going through and making the pick on Ben DiNucci. It's just who is re ready to go out there and make that game-changing play. Maybe you sacrifice a little bit of assignment and alignment, to go out and make the splash play that equals points or a turnover. Quinn, what do you see on the offensive side of the ball? And then talk about a little bit of that the D line point of view on what SDSU does different.
Yeah, so I think when I came in, like in 2016, they were still, and like I don't know how many times their like defense has changed or how many different D line coaches they've got, but when I was coming in, so like when I was on scout team, they were still in that era of like 2011 to 2016, where like their D tacks would line up like way off the ball, and like they would be in like the Frogger stance or like. You know what I mean? Like they wouldn't be like they didn't have,
4-point stand, basically.
yeah, they didn't have like ass high, like weight on the front. They were like leaned back a little bit. They kind of honestly looked like old linemen. Like they waited for everything to like develop in front of them until they made contact, which is like kind of weird. And I don't necessarily know like what their scheme was. I honestly can't remember. But I think now I want to say they used to do that just because they were undersized. Like,
Sure.
and it just gave them more of a shot to like get through gaps easier or like do something like that. But I think they've kind of just caught up to, I mean, it's almost not reverse roles completely, but I think they've just gotten a little bit bigger. So like they don't have to do that anymore. They probably.
Bigger, better athletes, and I think it's more of an exposure of just like pin your ears back. This is how we're going to play when you get this read from the Bison offense.
Yeah, I think they just trust. I think SDSU just trusts those D tackles a little more, and they should. I think that Sanders dude's pretty good. I can't remember who the other one is, but I think that changed a few years ago, probably 2018, honestly, when they started getting just better recruits at that D tack position. But what was your second one? Just offense?
Yeah, what are your keys to the game for Big O to get this job done?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've said it too. I think that first game, that first half of the first game this year, when we were leading 21-7, it was a lot of it was on the arm of Cam, just completing what he could. I mean, just there's a lot to be said, and like anyone who knows football knows this, like giving what the defense or taking what the defense gives you. I mean, that's what it was happening in that first half, and I don't really know if that changed in the second or what really happened, but Cam was literally just taking everything that the defense was giving him. And I think the weaker part of this SDSU team, even though it's a pretty good team, are like the set is the secondary. So yeah, I mean, I think our O line against their D line, like it is in every game that the Bison play, like that's always an emphasis is how our O line will perform. I think that's a big one because you got to give Cam time to throw because depending on what they have, you know, drawn up. Stuff downfield, and there might be quite a few double moves, or maybe just longer developing routes. But you got to give them time to throw, and then it's, yeah. If our guys on the outside can win, we've seen it a few times this year, but we haven't probably seen it like super consistent. So I think those are the two big ones on the OND. And obviously, like we still want to run the ball. I mean, that's who the Bison are. But I can't remember what. I don't think we ran for a ton that first game, mostly just because I think they've seen it enough where I would be surprised if we go out there and just run for 400 yards. I mean, I'd love it, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever really in a position to have that kind of stat line versus SDSU, just because that is what they're game planning to shut down. And
Yeah.
what I think is a great mark of a great Bison quarterback, you look at Brock Jensen, you look at Easton Stick. Trey had a little bit more. Trey and Carson both had a little more of that splash play ability where they're going to throw a 65-yard bomb. But Stick and Brock and Cam don't really have the strongest arms in the world, so they're really good at taking what the defense gives them, like you said. JB, you're a member of the Headhunters in your time at NDSU. The one pressing question that I've had is, do you focus on shutting down Isaiah Davis in that run game, or do you focus in that linebacker room on playing Tucker Kraft in the tight ends?
I think we got to start with the run game, Zach.
Sure.
You know, I think the most, you know, crucial aspect of a championship defense is stopping the run. And I think that was number one on my keys to victory this week was stopping the run. They have a fantastic run game, and the running back is just a compliment to that. He's fantastic too. But you know, we've got some injuries suffered up front, and you know, likely will try to exploit that. And, this is just going to be have to be a display of dominance that we've shown against them before and in other championship games in the past, where we're going to have to stop that run. And I think that's going to be our focus, first and foremost. Excuse me, Tucker Kraft, he's fantastic and a phenomenal tight end. He's going to be playing football for a long time, most likely. But I believe in our athletes on the edges and in the defensive backfield that can make plays on a guy like that. So excited to see them go to work. But I think definitely stopping the run game is going to be what's most important.
Yeah, I think a lot of the weight of how this game goes is on that linebacker room. Grant Olsen's led headhunters. A marked improvement in that room and the defense in general, basically since that SDSU game.
Fantastic.
I think they got exposed a little bit as far as how easily a hurt Isaiah Davis was running the football against them. But if we're going to flip a coin and say you can either lose by giving up or by playing the run game poorly, or lose by not defending a tight end well, I'd rather stop the run than
Absolutely.
let a tight end beat me.
Sure.
Um, what are what are your other keys to the game here on defense?
Quinn, go ahead. What do
No,
you got,
I was
Quinn?
just, I'm doubling down on that. I think
Sure.
the boys go out there and just old school. I mean, not like they'll change the entire defense, but like, and this is kind of what I thought about just in general, since it is the SD, it is SDSU, NDSU, and the Natty. It's something all three of us, I'm sure, thought would happen. I was hoping it would happen at some point while we were playing, just because of how good our teams were, and like I knew we would just dog
Sure.
walk them in the championship game. But like in my mind, I just want NDSU to go out there and live or die by the sword, run the whatever out of the ball,
Hey,
and
that's
just.
a swear word we got approved for. You're good.
Yeah, run the shit out of the ball and just put eight in the box and just take away the run completely and let them throw 50-50 balls to Kraft, Hines, and whoever they got, and let our great second, like let Tut and Dawson and Courtney and Destin go up and make plays like they've done the last 5 to 6 years. Like we have enough guys on the back end to contest those balls. I mean, not that we'll come down with every one and they'll get theirs, I'm sure, because they have great players. But yeah, in my mind, I just want them to go out there and just be the Bison and not overthink things. And JB, I've talked with Willis about this before. 16 and 17, when we lost to those guys in the regular season and then we beat them in the playoffs, I'm sure you remember this. It was always like 8,000 checks on the defensive side during that first game. Like they'd go out to empty, we'd have a call for it. They'd come back in, we'd have a call for it. They'd switch the back, we would have a call for it. And like it always just messed up stuff. So then like in the playoffs, every time the coaching staff would be like, screw it, we're just gonna play base defense and have like three pressures for the whole game.
And
And
we
we would just,
dominated.
yeah, just kill them. Like I feel like that's what's coming. I
I
really
think so
do.
too. I think
Yeah.
so too. The one thing too, you talk about those games in 16 and 17, specifically the regular season ones. They were throwing, since I'm approved to say this, they were just throwing shit at us too, those first few drives. And we had all these, pretty elaborate calls for some very smart defensive backs. But the thing that was getting us were these shit trick plays that were coming out of the woodwork. It wasn't a ton of trick plays, don't get me wrong, but they had scripted almost drives, it seemed like, for their first couple drives of the game. And because of all these different checks we had and these different formations that we were prepared for and they didn't come out, and it confused us, and we don't play well when we don't play fast. And I think that's plays exactly to what you're talking about, Quinn. I think they're gonna have, not a simple game plan by any means, because that's never the case, but something where it just allows their guys to play fast and play confident, because that's going to be the most important thing, is that confidence and just flying around. And I think these guys very well know what's at stake here and the legacy they can leave. And yeah, that's just going to be the main thing, is playing how they know they can play.
I think that's something that it's a nuance until you're in the locker room you could never understand. And that the Dakota Marker game, SDSU is cutting it all loose and they're putting everything out on the table to drive home with that rock. But NDSU, excuse me, seems to have a very base offense, but a very complex defense when they play SDSU. And like you said, you can't think and function where in a spot on defense where you just it's all about instinct. And
Sure.
you have base rules and alignment and assignment, but like it's all C ball, go get the football. Who do I have to do? Or what do I have to do? Who do I have to take on? It's just so much instinct that when you throw in checks and you see somebody crossing the formation, I have to go to the other side of the formation and somebody else comes over, all that
Sure.
stuff. But when, like Quinn said, you get three base calls, you have three blitzes, cut it loose, go beat the Jackrabbits.
Absolutely.
Let's go into score predictions. Quinn, I'll start with you. How do you think this one finishes up? I think the total was 47 and a half if you're a betting man, and I think the Jackrabbits are up to a 5-point favorite. Started at 3.5, so a lot of public money is on the Jackrabbits.
All right, I'm looking. I don't know if this isn't cheating, but I'm looking at the weather. I need to look at the weather because if it's like a
I
classic,
don't think that's cheating. I think that's good
that's
research.
something you factor into.
Right, so
Investigative journalism.
looks kind of like a normal Frisco, like kind of like cold at the beginning of the day. Looks like it'll be sunny for most of the game. So like,
40s,
no,
50s.
yeah, I honestly think, and it's kind of. I mean, obviously, you guys have watched the NFL this year. The NFL has kind of regressed offensively because, like, it's just lower scoring this year. In my head, and I told Willis before, and I'll just say it because whatever. I feel like if it's a blowout, I don't love like NDSU getting more stops than SDSU. If it's like a 40-something game, like if a team's gonna score 40 or more points, I don't think it'll be NDSU. So I'll say it like that. I like NDSU in a grimy, kind of gross, like 17-13 game. SDSU is driving the field to try to go ahead, and I don't want to jinx it, but I'm just throwing it all out there. Doss gets a pick to steal it, similar to Jimmy does in 19.
It's like a storybook, like how it ends every
Yeah.
time.
Just because, like, Doss is on a roll. Like, he has shown up in every playoff game so far. And,
Played himself into an All-American position.
man,
Yeah, like,
shout out to Doss, man,
yeah.
for
It's
real.
his birthday
Like,
today, the day we're
happy
recording. Shout
birthday,
out
Doss.
the
Nah,
boy.
that shit is crazy, man. He literally just worked himself into a All-American spot, and he probably deserves more than that,
Absolutely.
that one award. But
Yeah, and
congrats, Doss.
I
See.
JB,
I
you
honestly
saw
feel like I see like a gross first half where it's like, I don't know, like I see a gross first half where it's like 10-6, and then we like don't score in the third and they score a touchdown. We get a score in the fourth, so we're
Stop.
up. I'm like running through it all in my
It's
head.
already making me nervous if that's how the game's
Yeah.
gonna go. Like, not nervous that we're gonna lose, it's just nervous of
My armpits are
how,
sweating.
yeah, of like knees weak, arms are heavy. I'll be the entire game if that's how it's gonna happen. JB, I mean, like, we're kind of off script here again, as people expect, but like, you were probably closer to Doss than all of us. He was in my class, but he spent a lot of time around you. Just speak to like how cool it is to see like how kind of a shithead Dawson was to where he is now, man. Like, I think
Well,
team captain worthy guy and an
absolutely.
All-American now. So
Yeah, man, I've been giving DOS props a bunch all year over on the Ross Uglum show, if you want to call it. And it's just been fantastic to see. I don't want to call him a shithead or whatever you called
I
him
will.
when he was young. You can't be a cohort. But no, it's just the maturity, and it goes to show, the importance this program has on its members. And Doss went from a guy I remember freshman year. I mean, we were sitting there in the his first fall camp, just like, there's a long way to go for everybody, including myself, including anybody who's ever played there. And that's the beauty of this program is, they say those who will stay will be champions. Excuse me, I butchered that. But no, it's literally a developmental process, and you see it to the fullest extent with Dawson. It's just like he started, where a lot of guys start, and a lot of guys don't make it to the prominence that he's made it on this team, and the importance he has to the defense and to the whole team as a leader and a senior. It's fantastic to see. And you see it with a whole bunch of people in this program, and I was glad he was one of them for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I like how you put that. You know, we all have a long way to go when we showed up at the program, and he's reached it. So it's super cool to see. JB, give me your score prediction for Sunday.
I'm going 20 to 16,
Okay.
and
Another grind
I'm
them out.
NDSU, obviously, 2016. I think it's a grinded out slugfest. There's going to be a couple shares of big plays, but I think too, I meant to mention this earlier, but it's going to be about turnovers, the turnover battle.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a field position game and it's going to be a run the ball game, in my opinion. And those turnovers and that field position battle is what's going to really come down to it. So I think it's a grind them out game, 20 to 16. The boys bring it home.
Yeah, I think that's obviously something. It's the cliche thing to talk about, but you go back in as long as you can look, and turnovers a lot of the time are a big differentiation in who wins the SDSU NDSU game. I'm going to agree with you guys on the fact that it's going to be close, and it's going to come down to the turnover differential. It's going to come down to actually a friend of the program, Dave from Minot on Twitter, Dave Richard, told me that the last, I want to say 10 meetings, the team who has more rushing yards wins. So, I mean, that's a pretty key indicator to how that thing goes. But I think when nerves are this high, and like I said, you're operating on instinct and basic defense, basic offense, and it's a, hey, let's go win the football game. I think points are scored. I'm going 31-27 Bison, taking the over. Bison win outright. Get on the plane, sing the song, come home. Let's party. Chubbs Day.
Chubb's Day.
Imagine landing in Fargo, sleeping for 6 hours, and then it's Chubb Day. Dude, like
Don't tease me.
at least we got Sunday before.
Don't tease me.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. I'm sure to nobody's surprise, three Bison homers picked the Bison to win down in Frisco. It's going to be an incredible football game. I couldn't be more excited. But I'll leave it at that. Otherwise, we'll have a 4-hour podcast talking about this game. JB, you're in a room on StreamYard here with two of the six total Chargers fans in the surrounding seven states. So I want to talk about obviously the playoff outlook. We clinched our spot, but Green Bay, man, has had every domino fall their way that they needed.
Yeah, well, first off, I'd just like to say it's a privilege to be, in the presence of you two. I was a really big fan of your uniforms back in the day. So,
Yeah, us too.
the Packers, man. I honestly don't even. There was like me and Albrecto, another friend of the program here, went to
Absolutely.
their Thursday night game.
Against
Four
Tennessee.
against Tennessee like 5 weeks
Yeah.
ago, and they lost. And that was right after we had just beaten Dallas. And so we had this like just roller coaster of emotions going. Christian was going off. We were
Yeah.
excited. And then we go and just put up a stinker on offense to Tennessee. And so me and Jack are just, dejected. And we kind of thought we were talking about how the season, I mean, essentially was over at that point. We were talking about draft picks and who we needed.
Yeah.
So just the fact to even be at this point where I think A-Rod mentioned it. He's like, even just to be playing meaningful games every week, having that one thing to latch onto to hope for,
Right.
it inspires the boys. And when guys like Christian and some other younger guys are stepping up on defense and making plays, and they're getting that confidence late in the season, and they see these wins racking up, that confidence goes a long way. So
Yeah.
it's really, really cool to see them put those string of wins together. But then too, just to have those dominoes fall is insane. I don't like they had to have either the Giants or the Commanders lose three out of their last four, and
Yeah.
then also Seattle lose two of four and then win out. And
Yeah.
I mean, wow, I just nobody was giving anybody a chance, including me. So I don't know.
So what they need to clinch is Seahawks loss and a win against the Fighting Dan Campbells, right?
They don't
They
even
just
need
need
a
a
Seattle
win.
loss. They just need a
Okay, they
win.
just need a win outright.
Detroit needs a Seattle
Yeah.
loss.
Okay.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's got to be weird. I think teams in that scenario, the game should be played concurrently. I don't know how that
Absolutely.
would
Yeah.
work scheduling wise, but like if the Seahawks win, then the Lions have nothing to play for. And it's Dan Campbell. He'll get them fired up, and they'll still play like maniacs. But
Sure.
it's got to be cool to see, like you mentioned, a guy we knew and played with, Christian, basically being the kingpin and turning that whole Green Bay offense around because they were sputtering for a long time this season.
Yeah, he was just an absolute spark, and it
Yeah.
was, what the team needed. And oh my God, I was going to bat for C-Dub every single week, and just, I'm like, just give it, let him get healthy, let him do this, let him. And finally that Cowboys week, he just broke out, and just, you could literally see the confidence on his face from that game to the next game. He was
Yeah.
like, oh yeah, I belong out here, I'm a dog, like I am, who I think I am. And that confidence and that, swagger he has, and the sheer ability he has, it all just compounded. And you've seen it, the last however many weeks. I just, man, even the Miami game, he had what, five, six catches in the first half, and then, obviously got the unfortunate hit pointer or whatever it was, and had to kind of battle through that last week. So, the growth, not only just with the confidence, but you see it in the little things. He's, catching the ball and being confident in his route running and getting more and more trust from A-Rod. So it's been great to see.
Yeah, I think that something through Christian's draft process I thought was unfair was getting attributed that he was raw. And I don't think he was. He just had, the yips, I think, dropping the football a little bit at NDSU and early at
Sure.
Green Bay. He was breaking people off in college.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, just because, somebody's a freak of nature athletically doesn't necessarily mean they're raw. Just because most of the highlights he had at NDSU were jet sweeps and, long runs and big touchdowns, that doesn't
Yeah.
necessarily mean you're raw. It's just kind of a product of our offense. So I didn't think that was fair either. But yeah,
Yeah,
you're seeing it. He's getting more and more refined week by week too, and everything comes with that confidence.
I think it's lazy analysis, and I've come to expect it from most people. When he was at the Senior Bowl and Todd McShay was like, he's the 28th ranked receiver. I'm like, that just tells me you haven't turned on
No
the tape.
idea.
Even just the measurables, I'm taking him over 28 other guys.
Facts.
Quinn, our Chargers. How are we going to charger this? Like, it's going to happen. We're not
Yeah,
winning the Super Bowl.
the only way we like really charger it is if we end up seeding high enough to go play like Jacksonville and then just get dog walked like we did against them in week four. Like
Or like
if we lose,
we're going to have a
or
double doink in Jacksonville. That's how we're
yeah.
going to lose.
Or we're gonna play just amazing in Cincy, like be up the entire game,
Yeah.
and then Herbert for some reason will like channel his inner Phil, throw like a pick six,
Right.
and
And
yeah.
then like tears labrum as he falls down too.
Why
Dude,
would you guys manifest all this stuff?
it's not
It
manifesting. This
manifests
is what
itself.
happens. We know what happens. And
That's unbelievable.
this is what's annoying, and we'll get into this. Quinn, I don't know if you saw Stardom Sit'em, but I had sports fan bases, and that's what we're gonna break down. But that's what annoys me about Vikings fans the most is they are like us. They know they're a doomed franchise. And because of this year, they think they can fight it off.
Yeah.
No, you're more like us than you think you are. And then, the Chargers are going to lose in heartbreaking fashion. And we're going to have the 24th pick. And we're going to take a D tackle from Boston College who we ship off in 4 years. I just have to give a quick shout out to K-State, man. Heck of a year. And I talked to my dad about this. It was pretty surreal that the guys who recruited us to play college football are coaching as Alabama in the Sugar Bowl and are whatever, seventh in the country, whatever they ended up at. So quick shout out to our guy, Chris Kleiman, Coach K, more specifically my guy, C. Riles, Connor Riley, did a heck of a job. Excited to see where the future of their program goes.
Awesome. K-State was fun to watch this year, especially, with having the program ties and everything like that.
Yeah.
Man, they put up a fight and no matter, the circumstance or whatever, and they just, man, they showed out all year. It was great.
Can I be honest right now? When I saw that everybody from Bama was playing, I got kind of nervous.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you
I mean, what do you do?
writing was on the wall a little bit. Like I didn't know if they were gonna lose like really bad, and they kind of did. But like I when two or like three top 10 picks are deciding to play in a non-college football playoff game
Yeah.
in today's world of college football, you're just like, oh no. Like
Yeah.
they're playing because they're pissed that they're not in the playoff.
Correct. And they.
Bama was arguably a top two team in the country, in my opinion. Like, I
Yeah.
mean, what are we talking about here? Those dudes
Yeah.
are.
I mean, like, you saw, I think the only guy that really makes me think like he should be playing right now on Sundays, besides those Alabama kids, was Marvin Harrison Jr. I think if you just strapped a jersey on him and let him play this Sunday, it wouldn't look any different. But dude, like Will Anderson, I'm excited to see how he tests. He's going to be a freak show. Bryce Young is smaller than Camden Miller. I don't know how that's going to turn out. It's going to be a real case study in not only being short, but also being small. What they have him listed at, Quinn, 196. I
Yeah,
think he might be 196
6 foot wide
in
net,
pads.
194. Dude, the only team I really think that, and they're not even going to be able to high enough, and I don't know if they would, but like the Lions would be an okay team for him to go to. You need to have a good old line. Like
Yeah.
he can't get sacked seven,
Correct.
eight times a game. Like that will be a short year.
Because there are quarterbacks who are substantially larger than him that are falling apart with durability issues after
Yeah.
getting hit. So that might be kind of lazy analysis, football guy, bro science stuff, but like just be bigger. right into segments here. We'll keep it going so we can get everybody in and out. WTF win. I don't know if you guys had any to add. I said Tulane. They not only hung with, but obviously ended up beating USC in a heck of a game. The most impressive and like statistically the greatest program turnaround in 1 year to ever happen went from 2-10 to, will they end up 12 wins, 11
Yeah,
wins?
well, was it not 13 after that?
It might have been. And they
I
went in
think
and beat
it was.
K-State this year. And we're like,
Unbelievable.
Tulane.
Yeah, ties into the K-State situation. Unbelievable
Yeah.
year. I want to.
Yeah.
I would agree with you, Zach, but I want to take a different angle to it.
Sure.
We're talking about the USC Trojans, right? The same team that went and recruited all of the best players in the country, and got the biggest name on the coaching carousel. And brought all these guys with him, brought, who they're saying is the next Russell Wilson over with him. And, how many times is a Lincoln Riley-led offense going to be just absolutely let down by a poor excuse of a defense? We've seen it
Dude.
at Oklahoma. I don't know if people know this, but I'm an Oklahoma fan. My dad has some ties at Oklahoma, and I saw it for years and years. It was like, okay, how far can the offense get us? It was,
Yeah.
year after year we had Heisman quarterbacks, but so that was it's just, come on. I don't know.
It
That's
has
where
to be
I'll leave it.
bitter, not bittersweet, probably just sweet for you to see Lincoln Riley lose in that fashion.
It was, and I don't, who knows? That's probably a fantastic platform to for him to, continue to skyrocket his career and whatnot. But I was just, it perturbs you a little bit when you're not used to the transfer portal and all this new era of college football, and that happens, and he can almost just free agently pick up a team and plop it in the middle of Los Angeles and create a fake fan base, and
Yeah, it's also kind of annoying when it's, I don't know, I'm, yeah, I this isn't even controversial, I think, when you take a lateral move. I think
Right.
Oklahoma to USC is not that crazy. If I had those options, I mean, it's probably cooler living in LA than Norman, Oklahoma, but
And that's just it.
like I would rather coach at Oklahoma for 30 years and they build a statue and name the stadium after me. Then up and leave and go somewhere that is probably the same, caliber
Caliber.
of program.
It's me and you, Zach, might be different than what Lincoln's thinking, but yeah, he's the true definition of Hollywood, I guess.
It's true. And
Hey,
you're
I don't.
talking to a USC fan in
Yeah,
Mataji Kwinalo. So
I'm
yeah, no,
sorry,
that was
Quinn. No, that was Lenny's first game, the Tulane. My dad
Oh,
was
that's
the
huge.
Mataji Senior was a USC fan. I grew up a Texas fan, but
Oh, okay.
do you think Lincoln knew that he was going to be playing in? Oh, at Ohio State in like November of 2025 when he took that job, like
Dude,
Is that one of the
Well,
weirdest
like,
realignments in sports history? Is USC and UCLA joining
absolutely.
the Big Ten?
Absolutely. But I think that ball was rolling and got him to LA. He's going to coach in the Big Ten rather than the Big 12. I think that was part of it, or rather
Yeah,
than the Pac-12, excuse me.
that's true, I guess.
I think USC went in and said, hey, we're going to get this done with UCLA to move into the Big Ten. But we've talked about it. I think he talked about it in Nashville, Quinn. The girls' volleyball team is going to be in Iowa City on Wednesday night.
That's crazy.
UCLA's volleyball team is going to be in Iowa City on a Wednesday night. How
Oh.
much school are they going to miss?
Yeah.
Like, it's just chipping away at the guys that it's a student athlete thing.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It sure will help the Big Ten West, I hope, because they need all the help they can get.
Yeah, it's very true. I'm going to put TCU on the WTF win of the week. I drank the Kool-Aid on Michigan. My dad's a Michigan man. I'm a Notre Dame fan, so whatever. The rivalry's kind of dead. They don't play each other every year anymore. But I just thought this was the one. I thought Harbaugh, after beating the brakes off Ohio State again, they were fired up and ready to go. This was the year that they had the talent to go win a national title. And all credit to TCU. They are gritty as grit can be. Max Duggan and Sonny Dykes. I'm not even going to count them out against Georgia, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I reversed. Like, I had the same take on that game that I had about NDSU-SDSU. I thought if a team was going to blow one out, I thought it'd be Michigan that was going to blow them out. And I thought if it was going to be a close game that 15, Jax, help me out. I always said that Duggan looks
Yeah.
like Junie from Spy Kids, like grown adult. That might be.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look it up. I don't even know if it's Junie. Junie might have been the sister,
No,
but
I know exactly who you're talking about,
yeah,
man.
he just
Yeah,
looks like the
Rob.
grown up version. But
Yeah.
I thought
Oh,
that if it was close,
wait.
what?
This is real bench warmer stuff. That kid is now married to Meghan Trainor. I don't know why I know that. I don't know how I know that,
You're part of
but
the
he has,
TikTokers.
I know, they has like, they, I watch Entertainment Tonight every night. But like, he has like his little Spy Kids uniform. He looks just like Max Duggan, you're
Yeah, I
right.
looked it up. Do you know what is that guy, that actor's real name is?
No.
Daryl.
That shouldn't be as funny as it is to me. Jax, you have any comments on TCU Michigan? How do you feel about Big Blue?
I don't know. It just felt like one of those games that just like barely slipped through fingers due to like a couple misplays. I don't think it was anything like, they just got outplayed in any certain aspect necessarily. They just a couple plays slipped through that I was like, oh man, that's literally the difference between going to the national championship and not. And you could see
Yeah.
those individual plays just happening too often, and they stacked up on them.
Yeah, I think TCU honestly just feels like a team of destiny. Like they were counted out the
Absolutely.
entire year, and everybody has discredited every one of their wins, and now they're in the national championship proving people wrong.
And now they also just signed, like, sorry to interrupt, they just signed like three, four some guys from Bama in the transfer portal today.
Dude, Bama
Jeez.
had like a war of attrition, and they'll just recruit him with better players, but they had
Sure.
like 30 guys leave,
Wow.
which is
I'm
crazy.
excited to see how that 12-team playoff just dilutes the talent pool a little bit. That'll be fun to see.
Yeah, I think that with a combination of NIL will
Absolutely.
create, dude, I think Colorado will genuinely be something to be
That's
messed with
crazy.
in the next few years.
Hey, you want to talk about that other game? And I think going into it, it was always the storyline of like, did Ohio State lay an egg against Michigan, or did they get just like fully exposed?
Yeah.
Kind of looks like they just laid an egg. Like they came
Ohio
out.
State's good, dude.
Yeah. And Stroud, I not only his size, but like I just think he looks, and I don't know, like I would take him over Young.
Yeah, I think is the national championship this Monday?
Yeah.
Okay. They should schedule it where a team can play for third or fourth because another game between Michigan and Ohio State would be so sick.
Yeah, that's true.
Just like at a neutral site, they just bash heads. Before I get into the Ohio State Georgia game, do you guys, agree with the ref eating the flag on that final play in the TCU Michigan game. I think by the letter of the law, they've called less targeting.
They've called less targeting for sure. The only thing I'm gonna say is, like, being a proponent of the physicality of the game and everything like
Yeah.
that, I'm kind of glad he picked it up, but at the same time, if I was on the other side of it, I would be so downright
Yeah.
upset. So
I think that's the right take. Because,
yeah.
like, the kids are trying to make a play to send themselves to the national championship. He put his shoulder into him. It was in the upper back. It hit the head. That's football, right? That's just going to be part of it forever and ever as long as we play this game. But if I'm a
Hopefully.
Michigan fan, I am burning the headquarters of wherever the refs are down. I'd be so pissed.
Yeah, dude, I think it that, that I think that always depends on the type of call too. And I think you
Yeah.
saw it one of Kirk's picks, or I think, or the one that went for six last week. Like, he got blocked in the back, kind of when like he was like 5 yards behind the guy. Like, they
Yeah.
never throw the flag there because like he wouldn't make a play, right? Like the
Right.
quarter, like the guy, like same thing, like on a kick return. You hope that if there's a little bit of a hold, like on the very opposite side of the field, that just
Just
has
let it
nothing
go.
to do with it, the ref will just like kind of let it go. But like
That's such a fine line, 'cause like
when it's targeting, and like if they emphasize it, the NCAA likes to pretend that they love the player so much and they're gonna emphasize on all this bullshit, like
oh, he's on his
then
soapbox. Here
yeah,
we
then like always call it then. Like always call it. Like
Yeah.
call it every time
Yeah.
if you want it, if you're gonna call it, like no matter the situation,
You're absolutely right.
especially when it's like on the quarterback. So like you want to protect quarterbacks and protect players, but you kind of put quarterbacks before everyone else. Like
Yeah.
that like call it. Because you've been calling it.
Yeah.
And you've
I
called way
just.
less.
Yeah. I. That is just. That'd be such. It's a heartbreaker either way. They call it, you're pissed. If they don't, you're pissed. It's just, you don't win in that situation. I think if it was even a half a percent more egregious, if he hit him in his head first, and maybe I'm forgetting and not really remembering what the play looked like, if he hits him 6 inches higher, maybe I disagree and like, hey, let's throw that thing. It needed to be called. But it is what it is. I love shaming kickers. I played in five career games and maybe had like 75 career snaps. I think I'm still more of a football player than kickers are. Special teamers, all of you, long snappers, punters, you can all like just go golf and practice without running patterns like you all do anyway. So when that Ohio State kicker had to like try to like have some swag and like wave goodbye at that dude and then missed the kick to beat Georgia and send him to the national championship, like as 2023 rung in, it was the most beautiful thing in my cold, dead heart that I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was
Let's hear
insane.
it,
Yeah,
boys. JB, you better watch yourself. You're on our way to a destination wedding for a special teamer, so
oh,
I won't make you dive
I
in there.
mean,
But
I don't.
you're
Yeah,
not you're
I
now
should.
guilty you're now
I
guilty
gotta
by
watch.
association.
Yeah, shout out Cam Peterson. You know, if we're in the topic of kickers here, you know,
Cam
here's a
Peterson
funny
won a
thing.
lot of football games.
Cam Peterson won a lot of football games. Here's the thing about Cam. I went to high school with Cam, if anybody didn't know this. I went to preschool with Cam, if anybody didn't know this. I grew up with that kid, and he was one of the best athletes in our high school, regardless of sport, whatever. The dude was an athlete. And then he gets to NDSU and he gets to, you know, just strap on the kicker bucket and, you know, go down to the other field. And he just, all of a sudden, I'm like, where did any of that little, you know, hop in your step go?
Yeah,
So
that actually is really surprising, like based off of what I've seen from Cam on the
it was
football field.
he was our starting quarterback, a starting safety. He played every sport. Like, dude was all over the place. And then, you know, he gets here and gets to go, you know, punt and golf with James Fisher and you know whatnot during fall camp
Jackson
practice.
Coons.
Oh, come on.
The Eric Bachmeyer model, be nice in high school.
Hey,
That was
it
mean.
works for a lot of people.
Shout out, Bach. Then my last WTF win is Green Bay, man. They beat the brakes off of Minnesota. Kind of expected. The Vikings usually drop one to the Packers, and it's usually the one at Lambeau, but I didn't expect it to be in the fashion that it was.
Yeah, I don't want to talk too much about it. Just, it's
We're on to Detroit.
simple, great football, dominant football. The one thing I will say quickly is that Joe Barry is, I'll give him credit. He's done a great job turning some things around on that defense since the bye week. So that's been fun to watch.
Oh, Ross is gonna be mad at you. He hates
Yeah.
Joe Barry.
He's gonna take that.
Next man up. I don't know what you guys have, but in general, just wanted to shout out my guy TK Marshall. One of those guys that's what you would describe as a program kid. And that's kind of has a negative connotation to guys who are in the program. Usually means you suck and you stick around. But TK kind of breaks that mold, man. He is good enough to start at a lot of other Valley schools. He was just stuck in a stable full of some absolute horses. So it's good to see him get his chance. And now he's going to do it on Sunday in Frisco on the biggest stage he can. I'm excited for TK.
Zach, I was if I got to go on the offensive side of the ball, I'm going to say the same exact thing. Man, I got a lot of respect for him, and he's continued obviously to grow with the offense and grow into a position where I think they trust him a lot now to make big plays and to, run that offense efficiently, or run in that offense efficiently, I should say. On the defensive side of the ball, we're going to need somebody on the up front to step up, and I think that might be my guy, Jax. I gotta see, some big plays out of them. They're gonna be trying to run the ball. They're gonna try to, smash it into that interior that's pretty banged up. And I just think it's time for do you pronounce it Duttenheffer or Dutenheffer?
I believe it's Dudenheffer,
Dutenheffer, my
but that
guy. I think
also
he's
that makes me laugh harder when you pronounce it
Dutenheffer. I think he's gonna have a big game. He's gonna have to for us to pull out this dub. And I've loved how he's carried himself throughout the whole season. So
that way. Quinn, you have anything?
I don't know. Just I'll give you an NFL one.
Sure.
Baker probably just got himself another contract somewhere, right? As a starter.
I think he wins this year's Next Man Up award
Yeah.
for just for the last 3 or 4 weeks in
I honestly
LA.
thought with Stafford, like all the injury history and then this one being like a weird one, that he was gonna retire, but I guess his wife had a podcast and he was on it and
Dude.
she was just like, "You're not retiring, are you?" And he was just like, "No."
And he's like super skinny too. Like he
Yeah,
looks
I know.
retired.
No, that like the first time Baker was playing that Thursday night game, I saw Stafford on the sideline and it looked like he was wearing like a 3X sweatshirt.
Yeah. This isn't a segment. I just have to make a comment. And with all caveats being that I love everybody involved in the program, especially the equipment guys.
Oh
Those guys
no.
are the best.
Oh no.
Those
I
are
know
my
where this is
homies.
going.
Oh,
I
I
know where this is
know,
going.
guys. Can we get some travel drip, please?
Get the guys some
This is number
drip.
10, dude. Like, we need some
10.
swag for the plane and to walk around and go to Topgolf. Oh,
That
like,
one,
I get.
I saw the IG post today, Zach.
Yeah.
It was, I don't want to get too far into this,
No,
but
this is, I.
it's just the big Nike swoosh on the front. Like, let's get a little NDSU patch on there at least,
Put
you know?
NDSU on the front. Put a bison head. I get it for regular road games. You don't need swag for that. But to send the boys down in a good mood, look good, feel good, get on that charter, fly down there, kick some jackrabbit ass.
Man, we'd love
It
to see it out of the budget.
leaves a little more. Make the calls that you need to call. You built a $50 million indoor practice facility, all privately raised. Get some swag for the boys.
On.
That leads me into my next point, which isn't on the script but is kind of interesting. Apparently, all the stuff like the banquet and the fun stuff, the Texas Bowl, is not happening this year because of who the two teams are. Preliminary
Sure.
reports are. I don't know if
Good.
it's going to happen, but apparently, like the Bison are doing the Bison thing and the Jackrabbits are doing the Jackrabbits thing.
Good man.
Quinn,
I
you can be
don't.
all grouchy. I like that stuff.
That stuff is fun. Don't get it
Yeah.
twisted. Like that stuff was absolutely a blast, but I just think, time and place, and I don't know if this is the time nor the place.
I think if it was anybody else, I'd be fine with it still
Mm-hmm.
happening. But I don't, that's like ultimate, you don't sleep with the enemy. Don't rub shoulders with the Jackrabbits.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a fight will break out. These two teams won't behave themselves. I
Do
think
you
it's
know?
just like a focus on us right now.
Do you know how hard we would have went at those games? We probably
Oh,
would have
dude.
got some pregame injuries at the dang Texas Bowl. We would have
Dude.
had guys throwing out elbows on the bowling alley. We would have had guys throwing hip checks in the laser tag lounge.
JB, were you there the year we went to Topgolf instead of
Oh
the
yeah.
bowling alley? Okay. That was your senior year?
Yeah, I had a broken wrist, so I was doing everything
That's
one-handed.
right,
That was
Mr.
interesting.
Clubman. If we did that against SDSU, Amy Olsen just dunking on whoever SDSU would have had as a representative would have been so good.
Oh, that would have been good, man.
Because that's a story for another day, but Amy Olsen wiped the floor with JMU's like club pro or whatever.
Just absolutely, I mean, disintegrated the
I
guy.
don't think
It
it,
was
I don't,
fantastic.
yeah, it was very cool to see. And I, if you guys remember correctly, I believe Zeb Noland was getting the boys fired up in many ways during that. But he actually just texted me today out of the blue because I tweeted about how to get our new barbecue sauce machine off the pallet. And he sent me a step-by-step list of how to get it off without hurting anybody. So, like,
Shout out
just
Zeb, man.
the most Zeb thing of all time. Let's get into Stardom Sit'em. We'll get you guys out of here. We'll get the fans out of here so they can go drink beer wherever they're at. We're gonna do Stardom Sit'em sports fan bases. Do you want to do this one by one because we have all three guys, or should we just everybody rip their Stardom list, everybody rip their Sit'em list?
I say, why don't we go through the sit-ems first, each one of us, and then go through the stardoms, each one of
Cool.
us? I don't
Yeah. I'll start with my sit-em. SDSU fans, just number one sit-em.
Plain
They
and
stink,
simple.
man. There's like eight or nine of them total. You can tell by their attendance numbers. It looks like UND national championship hockey games, but they're loud and they're annoying and they're wrong. And that's a pretty good combination to be an annoying fan base. Number two, Vikings fans. It's really been this year that has prompted it, my hatred towards them. Not hatred, I love you still as a human, but I hate you as a Vikings fan. You're not that good. Quinn, stop. You're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
For
And
those who don't know, Quinn is doing the skull chant here silently.
again. Yeah, why don't you wake that baby up, dude?
He's
You're such a
already
cool boy.
awake.
I'm good old fashioned, Old Faithful. When you're talking about bad fan bases, Cowboys fans,
Oof.
just like a bandwagon crew that started in the 90s. Because I don't know what it is, they're just the loudest, most incorrect, fan base. And this plays into what I think is the trifecta. My number four sit-em is the Yankee fan, they're bad. It has to do with them being from the East Coast, I think. I spent Christmas in New York last year, and it wasn't an enjoyable experience based upon the people I interacted with. We went to Delaware and got beers thrown at us after beating them in a regular season game. Like, it's just a different kind of animal out on the East Coast. And then the equal to both of those in the college football realm, I think, is the Ohio State fan. They travel everywhere. They want to fire Ryan Day. After he, it's like asking to fire Coach Entz, which some people do too, but like he's lost like what four games in his tenure as the head coach of Ohio State, continually having like five-star recruiting classes, and Ohio State fans want him canned, and that spells stinky fan base.
Ohioans are a stinky people in general. Sorry.
I do love the TikTok trend of like normal day in Ohio and it's like Chernobyl erupting.
Everybody just absolutely shitting
Ohio stinks, man. It is what it is. Any comments, anything you guys disagree with on the sit-em there?
Ohio. I mean, there's a lot of great shitty fan bases on there, Zach.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
JB, give us your sit-em.
I said I got a little bit different perspective on it. I kind of mixed a couple ideas here, but to me, the lack of a fan base, especially for a team of prominence of any sort, is worse than a good a hearty fan base that is annoying or like
Sure,
stupid
sure.
or something like that. So I kind of went that route.
Okay.
So with that being said, I'm gonna go the combination of Miami football fans, whether that's the university or the Dolphins. I have seen so many big games in Hard Rock Stadium played in front of less than 10,000 people. It's
Yeah.
unbelievable.
And I think that's also on them for like, did they think they were going to fill that place out?
Dude.
It's like the Chargers thinking they're going to fill SoFi out.
Yeah,
Build it for
right.
50,000 people and make it compact so it looks like it's full, even if it's empty.
100%. I couldn't agree more. That's what actually leads exactly into my next point. For those of you,
Oh,
I apologize, fellas. It's the LA NFL fan base as a whole,
sure.
the Rams and the Chargers. It's not, the people that are loyal to either one of them, because I know there's people from everywhere, St. Louis, San Diego, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's the LA fan bases as a whole. They're not showing out. They're not showing up. They've had some fantastic teams, and it just seems like a celebrity showboat fest more than it does a football game. So that was my number.
Yeah.
That was one of them too. I'm sorry. I went 5-4-3-2-1. I
No
apologize.
worries. No,
But
I
that was
probably
number
should have done
four. That was number four. This directly correlates. I went to for those of you who don't know, I got an additional degree down at Northwestern in Chicago this year. And I went to a few games both for, having to, write up some sort of coverage or just for enjoyment. And then I actually did a project on their starting quarterback, Ryan Holinsky, down there. So I went to a few games, and man, for being or what do they title themselves in as Chicago's Big Ten team? That's what they call it. And
Oh.
oh man, I went to three games this year, and it was literally like going to a Division III game at your local, podunk town. It was just, and the stadium's terrible, so like I can't really blame them, but it's just a beautiful university with a beautiful campus and an old shitty stadium with about 2,000 fans in it for a Big Ten game against Ohio State. It's just
That sucks.
unbelievable.
Jax,
And
that was me and Willis when we went on the trip to
yep.
Tennessee, to Nashville this year.
Vandy.
It was Tennessee at Vandy, and boy,
Brutal. It's just, it doesn't mean as much to certain people at certain schools, and that's fine, but wow, was that terrible.
it's also, sorry, I
What?
don't mean to interrupt, but like Northwestern is whatever, they've stunk as of late. What else do Chicagoans have to do on a Saturday in the
On.
fall?
Come on. And it's in
Is
one of the most
it because
beautiful.
they stink and the stadium stinks?
Well, that's always a part of it, but it's there's so much more to it than that, because they're just, it's the most beautiful campus I've ever set foot on. It's right out on the banks of Lake Michigan in northern, beautiful, rich, lavish Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what are we doing here? Like, everyone
Yeah.
affiliated with the university should be there. So
They
whatever.
already have unbelievable football facilities. They built that one on like a cliff that that you
I
can
have
like look out of. And then
they had to build
apparently
out the shoreline. Sorry to
that's
interrupt.
so
They had to build
crazy.
out the shoreline to make that.
That's crazy. And then
Unreal.
apparently plans for a new stadium. So hopefully that changes for Northwestern.
Really hope so. All right. I have another combination one. Minnesota football fans, whether it's Gophers or Vikings,
Yeah.
whether it's the annoying side of it or whether it's the fair weatheredness of the Gopher fans. Or, people that think Paul Allen is fun and stuff like that, whatever,
He
what
is.
have
Stop it.
you.
He is. Yeah,
Right
if I
on,
see
man.
you like if you weren't there for like the Jerry Kill days and
Oh,
stuff like that, and but you're like wearing a Row the Boat shirt, get out of my
come
face.
on. Yeah, and another tidbit people might not know, my dad played at Minnesota, so I was originally a Gopher fan. So I was a Gopher fan my whole childhood. We went to all those Jerry Kill era games, and I forget the guy before that, who was pretty solid, Mason or something. I can't remember.
Was
But yeah,
Tracy
anyway,
Claus before or after?
he was after.
Okay. I don't
Anyway,
remember who was before.
anyway, but To cap it off, it's the Jackrabbit fan base. I don't know
Yeah.
if some of you guys remember, I tweeted like a meme that was a little distasteful in the spring FCS championship game 2 years ago. It was just kind of taking a little shot at SDSU fans, and I got absolutely thrown around that social network. Like, I had people text me that I've never received texts from, telling me they saw my picture on their timeline and stuff. I just got absolutely roasted. So I'll always have a really bitter taste in my mouth. It was about lack of stats and production here at NDSU. So I've always had a bitter taste in my mouth, specifically from that, but obviously on every other point of contention too. They're just bad.
Yeah, I think they're just not good people. Like to go from like commenting on football to like, I remember your appearance getting roasted.
I
I
was like,
remember like
what?
we're bringing up how many times you stepped on the field, like whatever. And like
Unbelievable.
I think especially guys like in our position, JB, you played more than Quinn and I, but like when you bring up playing time, I still did it. I had the scholarship. I was
Come
here.
on now. Come
So
on.
like
Yeah,
you
and
want
it's
to.
go ahead.
It's just like don't even get in my face with any of that. So
Right. And
yeah,
I
I know
felt,
how you feel.
everyone's got a role, and you had to come at a guy's stat line. Man, they went digging. They went digging.
We can't all be Nash Jensen, bro, starting
Come on,
69
man.
games in a row.
I can't be Jabril
Nice.
Cox. I can't.
Yeah. Quinn.
Sit
Thanks
him.
for
I
sitting.
got him.
Yep.
Yeah, I kind of looked at it as either just being annoying or like bandwagon, if that makes
Sure.
sense. Or just
Yeah, I didn't
my
even
top two are
consider
just
the bandwagon aspect.
yeah my top t but my top two are also just because I think they're all weirdos. So I'll start at the bottom, just UND.
Yeah.
We talked about it all year. This game is going to get 8 times as many viewers as any of their hockey national championships. So
Correct.
stick it. The Vikes, they're just unrealistic. Like, I'll skull this year, but they have so many come from behind wins. The only other team that's ever done this and won a Super Bowl is the Chiefs, and back in 2018. And guess what? Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. Like, it just,
You're not the Chiefs, pal.
yeah.
You're not that guy, pal.
Yeah. Number three, Patriots. I just don't believe there were any Patriots fans before the year 2000.
Yeah,
Like, I just
you're
don't believe it.
correct.
I want to see what their attendance looks like next year, or like what it was this year, because this year they stunk. And we'll see, I guess. I don't know if they're gonna, I don't know if they're gonna stick it out, because
I
like,
bet it attendance will be low because Mac Jones is white and they can't hurl racial slurs at him.
yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Number two, Cowboys. They're just, ever since the 90s, like, it's every year they're kind of both, they're all over the place, like all over the country. They are, that's like, so like a lot of their fans are just in my mind. I just think of a Cowboys fan, I think people that like kind of know football but like not really. So they're just like, I'm gonna be a Cowboys fan.
If it says anything, Skip Bayless is a Cowboys fan. So,
I
yeah.
wish we had somebody here to fact check me, but don't they have like less playoff wins than the Jacksonville Jaguars since the beginning of the Jaguars' existence?
Yeah, I think it's a
Probably.
ridiculous stat
Come
like that.
on. Like,
Yeah.
who even cheers for this team?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're a Packers fan. Don't hold like dynasty wings over anybody's head. You
Yeah, but
like
at
cling
least
to
we've
that
had
first
some
Super Bowl.
success. Like,
Yeah,
they haven't
you're
even
right. You're
had
right.
they haven't had anything in the last 20. I mean, they have their Tony Romo seasons and what have you, but come on.
My uncle was a Cowboys fan, and that was one of the few times I saw him cry when Tony Romo fumbled that snap against the Seahawks. And he just like sat there. Sad
Poor
Tony.
guy.
All right, my number one sit-em, just because they are all weirdos. It looks like a Halloween contest every game. It's Raiders. It was worse when
Yeah.
it was worse when they were in Oakland, but like, even in Vegas, like, they still have some creatures out there.
If they're weirdos and they'll put a dent in your head if you're wearing the other team's colors.
Yes.
Like it's a combination of those two.
Yeah.
I would be remiss if we were talking about bad sports fan bases if I didn't bring up, because I grew up in the exact perfect era of this, of Golden State Warrior fans and Oregon Duck fans. They were just, everybody was wearing the like
Yeah.
The Golden State
Fluorescent.
Warrior, and then the fluorescent neon green when they had like LaMichael James and whatever. Yeah, they were all Oregon fans. So, yeah, I think we had a pretty good consensus. I should have gone a different direction, but I just went off of who annoys me. I'll start my stardom. Number five. Chargers fans. We are few. We are proud. We're the Marines of NFL football teams. We fight for what we believe is right, and we're few, but we are strong.
Hey, we're the most realistic fan base in the NFL.
Absolutely, and I think that makes us great.
There you go.
You and I just talked about for 10 minutes about why we're going to lose in the playoffs to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
Number four, I think there's only one of them in this room now that Ross just popped in to stop this StreamYard that was supposed to be done, but in Ben Farmer fashion, we are going. Twins fans, they're losers, and I like them. They like you guys are always bad. You never spend money. It's got to be a miserable experience, but I feel bad
These
for them.
people.
And that's where Vikings fans used to fall in for me, but they have got all high and mighty, and now they're in the worst. Number three,
Based on their long list of accomplishments.
correct. Number three, I'm gonna go with Bison fans. There's obviously some bad apples. There is in every fan base, but to turn out, I think the incarnate word turnout during that blizzard really did a lot in my good graces as far as how I view Bison fans, 12,500 strong there. But the tailgating lot, if it's nice out, is always packed. People are always supportive, and in my experience, everyone has been fairly nice to me. Number two, only had one brush up with them, but it was a great experience. JB, you can correct me if I'm wrong. It's Wisconsin Badger fans. They're just there for a good time. They do the jump around, they do Camp Randall, all that stuff. And
They know how to party.
I went to a Gopher Badger game, and they know how to party.
For sure.
Number one, Bills Mafia. My old man's a Bills fan. They're jumping through tables. You want to talk about how to know to party? They stunk forever, and they're finally getting a taste of good football, and that makes my heart happy. My number one stardom is Bills Mafia.
Fantastic list,
JB, let's roll
Zach.
them.
I'll be quick.
Here we go.
Yeah, you
This
will.
is so random, but it was one of my most fun experiences on the sideline. I loved when we played at Youngstown State because they were so riled up and like nuts. There wasn't a huge allotment of them, but they were so like fun. They were having a blast, and it really got in some guys' heads on the sideline. So I don't know.
Mainly
It
Zach Zimmer.
whole bunch of guys in my personal experience, but I thought they were really fun. This one, I don't know how I feel about this. Green Bay, I love their fan base for the loyalty and for the tradition and the fun and just everything about them. But there are a lot of Green Bay fans that do tend to get under my skin with some of their
Yeah,
irrationalities.
I know one specifically.
Sure, I know. I mean, I could go on for days, actually. I had to throw Buffalo in there too.
Yeah.
I love Buffalo's fan base. Just, the loyalty, how much fun they freaking have. Oh my
Yeah.
goodness. I would love to be a part of that. And, just seeing them out in these snowstorms. And then, two, shout out to the good news from the Bills today with DeMar Hamlin. But even just like that outpouring this whole week and like how everything went with that. So that's just another reason. I'm going to go number two, a weird route here, and this is just because I feel bad for them, the Nebraska Cornhusker faithful.
Oh.
They've had such a tough going here these last couple, I mean, almost decades now, and
They
it's
deserve
been
it.
a
They
it's
stink.
been a poor it's been a poor showing, from their squad. But the amount of loyalty, and they sell out every stinking game there, and they have a lot of fun, and there's something to be said about a fan base that's like that. And one that I'll compare it to is my number one, which is the Fargo faithful and everyone that supports the boys here at
Love it.
NDSU. So
I'm going to say something here that's going to make like 60% of NDSU fans a little bit mad. And this has been written, I've read it by another, like, unbiased or unaffiliated writer. And I can confirm, not only dealing with you people, both of you peoples online, but having been at both places. Guys, Fargo is Green Bay. Green Bay is Fargo. Packers fans are Bison fans. I'm sorry. You've both dealt with a tremendous amount of success. You both treat opposing fans with tremendous amounts of respect. Both of your tailgates are outstanding. Both of your towns are the same town. Your color scheme is the exact same. And it's not just because I personally support both squads. They're the same people. You are the same people. Sorry.
You can save takes that'll make a large percentage of our fan base mad for your show, Ross.
No, Ross is right. The similarities are insane.
You're absolutely right. I asked, I want to say it was Zeej, like, what his experience with Green Bay is. And he's like, I mean, you grew up in it. It's the exact same.
It's here.
Yeah. Solid list, JB, except for Nebraska fans. They are some of the most chronically online toxic football fans I've ever been a part of.
I just wanted to give them a little credit.
And they should have been on my sit-em. Quinn, let's go with your stardom, buddy.
Yeah, I don't have any of you on here. People are going to be mad. Whatever. Sorry.
Grouchy for no reason.
Yeah. Well, maybe for a reason.
Not really. I have Nebraska number 5 stardom just because they will.
What is this?
They were 3-7 and had 80,000 people in the stands. Like,
come on. Nebraska exactly. Fans suck.
We went 10-2 this year and we had 11,000 people in the semis. So, sorry. Geez,
now you're bashing it.
Whoa.
Great. All right.
Number 4, I don't watch them that often. And it's just maybe this is the last couple of years being biased. I have Georgia football strictly because they have like 50-year-old men barking like dogs, like during the game. It's, and like not only 50-year-old men, it's like 50-year-old like CEO executives, like in their dress shirts, and they like put face paint on and go into a stadium and bark like dogs.
Yeah, it's kind of sick, to be honest.
Very sick. 3, I do have Packers, and just because in my mind, when I think of like best football atmospheres, it is a Sunday night football game with like you can see the players' breaths in Lambeau, and like 1 out of 5 people in the crowd are wearing their blaze orange hunting jackets. Like
that or nothing.
Yeah,
just be topless.
Yeah, but like you look, but like they always do like this pan shot of the crowd, and it is like it's like 1 out of 10 people are like in blaze orange. Like they just are like they're just like, oh, it's gonna be too cold to just wear my Packers sweatshirt. Like,
and 10 out of 10 people are double fisting Miller Lights.
Absolutely. Yes. It looks like you stumbled into a bar in Grafton and were just like, hey, I have tickets to a Packers game.
Shut
up. They just
know
showed
what
up.
Grafton is.
Shut up.
Shout out, Grafton.
We talking about Grafton, North Dakota?
Yeah.
It's I'm sorry. I was thinking Grafton, Wisconsin. Sorry,
no,
boys.
Grafton, North Dakota.
We're not shouting out Grafton.
Grafton, Wisconsin is probably pretty similar to Grafton, North Dakota, to be honest.
Most likely.
My number 2, if I have to pick like a sport, I'll do football. But I was just saying Philly fans in general, because if you look, yeah, I love the ruthlessness of their fan bases. Like they it's win or die for them, and like they would rather kill another person than lose like a week 9 game.
So like the whole classic thing is like the through batteries at Santa or whatever, but that like poor Minnesota Vikings fan, that lady that went there for the NFC Championship game and was like, these guys are mean. It's like, yeah, welcome to Philly.
You are correct.
You deserved it. That's what you get. And then Case Keenum gets his doors blown off. If you need any proof of like what Philly is and you just want to see him get put in their place, look up Bill Burr Philadelphia rant. It's the greatest 15 minutes that have ever been put on the internet. Oh, that's a great. Bad take, dude. Philly fans stink.
Whatever. we don't have time for me and you to just yell at each other from our screens. We just don't.
All right, come on then.
Number one, I have Bills Mafia. I mean, they were jumping through tables also when they were 2-14 and like
when lighting, J.P. Lossman was their quarterback.
Yeah, like lighting stuff on fire, jumping through it. And like JB said, it's not only the DeMar Hamlin stuff. It's anytime something bad happens and like they find out about a GoFundMe, a donation, yeah. Like it's like millions of dollars that gets donated within hours. Yeah. Like, it's insane.
They were shoveling out their players' cars from the Blizzard last week too. That's great.
Also, like the funniest part about Bills Mafia, where, okay, Ross, we're hour 20, 25. I'm saying this. I think they got taken away, but like a few years ago, they were throwing dildos on the field. And that was also hilarious. I think they've been trademarked as Bildos now. But when those would get thrown on a field and you just like in the corner of your TV, you just see like a big, like 14 inch black one that was just like on the field, like that's a good pop from like just a Sunday afternoon of football, like a good like,
Bills fans are just guys being dudes, and that's what I love about them.
Absolutely.
By the way, I think it's even funnier. I think they were throwing them in Edelman and Brady too. Like I think they're playing the Patriots and they're throwing dildos at them, which makes it awesome. Everybody's list stinks except for mine, as per usual, how this goes. But JB, big shout out to you. I appreciate you stepping in. Go enjoy your old man's hockey game, whatever you got going on this evening. Hope you have an enjoyable and safe experience. Ross, thanks for putting together the StreamYard and popping in and providing your always, always poignant and great point of view. Listen to me wrap this up. I'm like Mike Greenberg. Quinn Allo, congrats on the baby. Congrats on the sex. Happy good for you. What? Can I congratulate my friend?
Hey, before we end here, it's definitely Bison with a win. I think you guys have seen it. The boys are at the Omni. So, I mean.
Oh!
Game over.
Yeah. Oh! The vibes are at an all-time high with them right now. So
yeah, love it. Hope everybody has a safe experience. If you're down in Frisco, I know how it goes. Stay hydrated. And extra, you animals who still went down on Thursday for a Sunday game are unbelievable. But appreciate you guys. Be loud, and let's beat the Jackrabbits, boys.
Hey, breaking moves.
Yeah.
Former West Fargo High School defensive back / linebacker who starred for MSUM last year has committed to North Dakota State. Marcus Gully, West Fargo High.
Marcus, my guy.
He is awesome. A Bison. And you're going to hate this, Zach. He's listing himself as a linebacker.
That's fine. All right. hell of a football player. Underrated, under-recruited. I think got a late start to football, so very excited for Marcus Gully to get his shot, come play for the Bison, wear green and gold.
We're guessing that's going to be at that Sam spot.
Sure. Anyway, come play wide receiver, young man.
That's all I got. That's all I got. Marcus Gully to North Dakota State.
Very cool. Love that. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate everybody listening. Go ahead and hit it with them.
Go Bison.
Go Bison.